This is Vermont Edition. I'm Jane Lindholm. Last year, more than 1,000 people were charged with domestic violence in Vermont. But, of course, the extent of domestic abuse is a far deeper and greater problem. And in the last month, there has been news coverage of several shocking murders involving what investigators have described as long histories of domestic violence. The plight of victims rightfully gets a lot of attention in situations like this. But for every victim of abuse, there is an abuser. So beyond incarceration, what kind of help is out there to try to stop abusers from continuing the pattern of violence? Does rehabilitation and counseling work? Melissa Dees has been doing that kind of work for nearly two decades. She's the director of Domestic Violence to Responsible Choices, a state-certified domestic violence intervention program. And she's with us now. Nice to have you on the program, Melissa.
Thank you.
So some people might have a knee-jerk reaction that says, there is no rehabilitation for abusers. Lock them up. Throw away the key. Why are we even talking about this? Why is that an oversimplified feeling that people have?
Because many people aren't, what they see is only the abuse. And yeah, every single person has so much more to them. And that's one of the things we try to help men understand. Because so many people have only pointed at what they've done wrong. So we're looking at human beings who have good hearts, most of them, not everybody. And they want to have happy relationships. It's not that they want to have an unhappy relationship or one that's not working or one that's not healthy. It's just that's their norm. That's what they grew up with. And a lot of this belongs to our culture. So our work is to help them understand that they grew up with an image of what a man's supposed to be, which comes from movies, comes from music, comes from every direction you can think of. And that's an image that has narrowed their understanding of what a man can be.
You say men. We know that not all abusers are men, mm-hmm. but you work with men. Is that by design or is that just because the higher prevalence is males who are the abusers?
The higher prevalence are men that are abusers.
And if a woman was court-ordered, for example, to get rehabilitation, she wouldn't be in your group setting.
No. And we want to have groups for women. It would take a very different curriculum. The problem is that there aren't near as enough – well, I don't mean enough. There are not enough women to warrant the finances in it that will take it behind it. We don't have money even for the men from the state to do this, so it's all on us.
And you work in a group setting. You have group meetings for mm-hmm. for the men that you work with. Why is being in a group an important component of that?
Boy, I wish I could show you their surveys. What we're doing is creating a team amongst these men, and it's based on trust and support. They have to talk about things that they've never told anybody. And what we're helping them to work to is to understand what's underneath the anger, considering that men are not raised to think, to identify what they're feeling. They don't really, they have a feeling, but they don't know what it is. And because they're supposed to be powerful, they jump from sadness, fear, humbleness, whatever it might be, to power. That's what they're supposed to feel, and that's about anger. So when they get into situations that bring them to us, it's usually because they're scared. It's not always, but it's usually because they're scared. They're afraid they're going to lose their partner or control over their household or their vision of who they are as a man. Most of the time, they're afraid they're going to lose their partner.
Is there a desire to change? I mean, given that most of the men you work with have been ordered to get counseling, it's not a given that they want to change this behavior. You know, it's a given that they have to be there, but not necessarily that they'd like to change that pattern.
Nobody likes to be told to do something. And when I check in with these men in their intakes, that's obvious that they're forced into these classes. What I do is help them understand that by the time they leave classes, which is a 6-month course, they will have more skills and understanding about themselves than most people that they meet. And these skills will help them in many avenues of their life. It doesn't just relate to their partner. The other thing they have to understand is probably the bravest thing they'll ever have to do, because they really have to look at themselves when they're causing pain and suffering to the people they love the most. And that's a really difficult thing to do. But until they're willing to go there, it's hard for them and to see the effects that they have, not only on their partner, but their children and themselves. Then it's hard to change their beliefs that's behind that, change their thinking, and really start from where they really want to be, which is, I'm afraid I'm going to lose you because I don't feel like I'm good enough.
Do you have statistics? I mean, is there any way to tell what's effective and, you know, if this kind of therapy and counseling works? I mean, recidivism rates are one thing, but if somebody's not sort of wrapped up in the legal system again, how do you know that what you're doing is effective?
Well, there's no way to know that. I mean, the only thing that we could do is, we haven't had enough time to do all the data. We're working on that. Of course, that needs money from the state. But we don't know what's going on in the homes. We might get some reports back from women that might be going through the advocacy program. So it's not something that anybody can actually speak particularly for, but other than recidivism. And, you know, in Addison County, because I've been in Addison County for a long time, the recidivism rate is the lowest it is in the state. Since I've been working in Chittenden County, there's no statistics on that, so I couldn't tell you.
But you've been in Addison for about 16 years and Chittenden for more like three
years.
But you have faith that what you're doing is effective and good in helping change a situation so that the next or the current domestic partner of somebody who is abusing doesn't have to experience that. Because obviously, you know, we do want to keep in mind the victims as well. Like, this is a crime with a victim.
It is. And I really do have faith in it. And the reason why I have faith in it is the men start coming back and saying, I tried this with my partner, and it really changed things. And you can see it on them. They come in with their resistance. They have a certain, you know, position that they're holding. And then it starts to break down. And then they start to communicate. And then, you know, there's plenty of tears. There's a lot of stuff going on. And you see the shift and change in them. And we do a lot of role plays. And I'm usually the woman. I do not make it easy.
And this kind of system is in place around the state. You work in Chittenden and Addison, but there are intervention programs in every county in the state?
I don't know if they're in every county, but most counties.
And you think this is one way to help reduce domestic violence? I mean, ultimately, that's what we're aiming for, right?
Absolutely.
Melissa Dees is director of Domestic Violence to Responsible Choices. It's a state-certified domestic violence intervention program. And as we mentioned, she runs groups in Chittenden County and Addison County. Melissa, I really appreciate you talking with us today.
Well, I'm happy to be here.